afternoon, AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, Doug Padgett in today. Broadcasting out of the Twin Cities, but I'm actually in New York City, doing all kinds of other things here in New York City, but glad to be part of the Drive Time show, and super excited to be talking with Alex Thornton. Alex is at the Center for American Progress and is a tax expert. Now, you might say to yourself, oh, is there anything exciting and important about taxes? Well, Alex is going to help us understand why that is and how important it is. So, Alex, thanks so much for being on AM 950 today.
Oh, you're quite welcome. I'll try to be interesting.
I know it's certainly interesting to me. I'm sure as a tax professional for the Center for American Progress, people are often going to you for all their big tax questions, especially around tax policy, which can frankly just be overwhelming to so many of us. So yeah. I want to start by thanking you for the good work that you do in paying attention to what's happening at the policy level and for breaking it all apart for all of us. It's really important work. So thanks. A part of that. This story about the Trump administration considering making this big tax change on their own, I guess from the Treasury Department, is one of those like complicated tax implication questions that has a lot of influence and a lot of implication on what would happen in our taxes. Can you give a quick rundown of what it is that the Trump administration is suggesting? It has something to do with changing the capital gains taxes and building in inflation when people have to pay their taxes. Can you walk us through that for those of us who don't pay as much attention as you do?
Sure. Well, first of all, when people have capital assets, whether it's a home or stock, if they sell it, they have gain. And the way they calculate their gain is they take the original price they paid for it and they subtract that from how much they got when they sold it. And that's their capital gain, and they're taxed on that. And since 1918, when the statute was first put into law about how you calculate this gain, it's been understood that the cost you subtract, the basis that you subtract, is just the nominal cost that you paid. If I paid $10, whether it was in, 2000 or 2005 or whatever, it's basically that amount that I subtract from what I gain when I sell it today. But what the Trump administration and congressional Republicans want to do is to be able to say that when you calculate that gain, the cost that you paid for it should be adjusted for inflation. So if you paid $10 in 2000, well, today that might be worth, what it would be, $40 or whatever. And so The amount that you would subtract would be much greater and your gain would be much smaller and you would owe a lot less tax. So that's basically what they're talking about. But what they want to do is to have Treasury simply regulate this change and say that, well, we're just interpreting the statute and we're going to reinterpret it to say that cost basis is the inflation-adjusted cost.
Yeah, it's just really something. I mean, it is one of the, like, as I understand it, this idea of reducing the amount that someone would pay in capital gains feels to, by building inflation into the equation, feels like nothing more than a way to benefit the most wealthy people who are taking capital gains. Is there any societal or economic benefit to making some change like this that they could make this argument on, other than they just think that the capital gains taxes are too high?
You are absolutely right that this would benefit the wealthiest Americans. In fact, it's heavily skewed to the wealthiest. I think 86% of assets are held by the top 10% of stock is held by the top 10% of households. And, basically what we're talking about here is, we already have a lower tax rate on capital gains, right? It's 20% for capital gain, whereas what people have pay on their wages goes up to 37%, right? Wages and salaries are subject to ordinary tax rates that go up to 37%. And so part of the rationale for having a lower tax rate on capital gains is that if you hold it for a long time, part of that gain is inflationary, so we give you a lower rate. It's way too low, and most, you know, progressive folks think it should be much higher. But especially if you were to adjust the basis for inflation, you would want to then tax any gain you have left at ordinary rates.
And I read an article about this, and they were saying that the George H. Bush administration looked at trying to do something like this and made the determination that in our current law, this is not something that an administration can do or the Treasury Department can do. It has to be done through statute, through the legislation.
Through Congress, exactly. Yeah, no, you're exactly right. Both the Treasury Department's General Counsel and the Justice Department's Office of Legal Counsel said that Treasury didn't have the authority to allow indexation of basis for inflation. And not only that, that was... before and after that, there's an enormous amount of contemporaneous Treasury pronouncements, other provisions of the Internal Revenue Code, interpretive canons, legislative history, all of which support the idea that cost is the price paid in nominal terms, not adjusted for inflation.
Is there any, is this all a part of, like, did this come up because the Trump administration wasn't happy with what was included in the big tax bill giveaway that just happened a few months ago, and this is their workaround? Like, they really wanted this into that tax bill, couldn't get it, so now they're double dipping into the cheese sauce at the party off the half-eaten chip.
Obviously they're benefiting their donors, right? And they did a great deal for their donors in the bill that was passed in December. This is a way to give even more to their wealthy donors and to the wealthy generally. And the thing about having Treasury do it is they don't have to worry about getting any agreement from Democrats in the House or Senate because, you see, before they passed a tax bill under that special budget reconciliation rule that enabled them to only have 50 votes. But now they don't have that available right now, so they would have to have 60 votes to get this additional huge, juicy tax cut for the wealthy. So they want to do it, have Treasury do it. And, of course, they're looking at the elections coming up. They want to have as many, you know, wealthy tax cuts as possible before the election.
Is one of the arguments here that this benefits farmers? I hear that a lot when people talk about these taxes on the wealth, you know, the tax breaks that seem to benefit the wealthy. I hear conservatives and Republicans say things like, well, you know who it's actually helping are these people you call wealthy, but they're actually these family farmers, and family farmers get hit with high capital gains taxes, and so we're trying to relieve the tax burden on that part of the population. Is there any truth to that calculation? And is that
I don't know, because the reality is that usually when they're saying that, they're referring to the estate tax and the valuation of capital assets under the estate tax. But there is a rule, a special rule that farmers have under the estate tax that basically says they can have special use valuation. They can value their farm as it would be valued, as it would be as a farm, not in terms of its development value. And so they already get a special break under the estate tax. And the estate tax, especially now that the changes were made in the tax bill that was passed in December, it hits like hardly anyone at all. It's hard to believe that this would be a big problem. But what you just pointed out is another reason why Treasury really shouldn't be making this change, and that is this change would actually open up a lot of loopholes. Because if you allow capital gains to be indexed for inflation, but you don't make certain other changes in the tax law, there are ways that taxpayers can do what's called arbitrage. They can take advantage of differences in the way things are defined across the tax code to basically get a much bigger tax cut. And so, for example, this is especially true with debt. If I buy a capital asset with debt, and then I can adjust my gains when I sell it for inflation, it's hard to, without getting into too technical an example, I can basically double dip. And that's what the loopholes would be that would arise if Treasury just went and did this instead of Congress looking at it in a comprehensive manner.
Mm. Well, Alex, I know you're going to stay on over to the next segment, and I'd like to ask you about how the tax bill that was just passed, how you are now seeing it playing out. But one last thing on this proposal. How likely do you think this is? How possible is it that Treasury is going to be able to reinterpret the rules about evaluation of an asset?
Well, you know, I don't suppose there's any way to stop them initially from doing it. They could be challenged. There actually are a number of tax experts that have said that there are a number of groups that would have standing to sue. So, for example, state governments, because they link a lot to the federal tax law, there are certain states that actually would find that they had lower tax revenues because of this change. And so they would be very concerned about that, and they would obviously be affected and have standing. There are reasons to believe also that brokers who are required to have certain reporting requirements on basis of assets would be affected and might have standing. Mm. And there are also charitable organizations might also have standing because of
so it would be a lot. It would be lawsuits that would have to. It would be lawsuits that would have to solve this. Well, that's Alex Thornton. She's from the Center for American Progress. She's a tax professional and expert. And after the break, we're going to talk a little bit about the last tax cut that was passed and how it's impacted us. This is AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. I'm Doug Penn. Drive Time.
Tom Hartman here telling you that solar energy isn't just for environmentalists. Switching to all-energy solar is actually perfect for reducing your carbon footprint while also saving money on your monthly electric bill. The fact that solar panels cause no earth-harming emissions while it's producing energy is a bonus. Who in the world could object to that? But they can also help you save money month after month for decades. And they do it with a clean footprint. So go green and start saving money today by visiting allenergysolar.com.
It's grilling season, and Vinaigrette has some sizzling recipes to inspire you. How about summertime grilled fajitas? Just create a marinade with our golden balsamic or champagne vinegar and chili garlic or jalapeno olive oil and marinade beef or chicken. Add red onions, red, green, and yellow peppers and throw them on the grill. Or try grilled steak brushed with our truffle or garlic olive oil. Visit us at 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior or online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Hi, everybody. Make plans to attend the one and only Powderhorn Art Fair on Saturday and Sunday, August 4th and 5th in the heart of South Minneapolis and picture-perfect Powderhorn Park. Experience and purchase original artwork from more than 230 artists. Spend time with your family and friends creating your own work of art at over half a dozen art stations. And don't forget to grab a bite to eat from over 25 different food trucks. So join us on Saturday, August 4th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. or Sunday, August 5th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. or both. The Powderhorn Art Fair is proudly brought to you by Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association in collaboration with the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board with a generous gift from the Metropolitan Regional Art Council. Again, join us for over 230 artists, 25 food trucks, and 6 arts experiences on August 4th and 5th. So we'll see you there at one of the most local art fairs around.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is having its annual store-wide sale. For the entire month of July, all of our indoor and outdoor fireplace products and accessories are at their lowest price of the year. At Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we display, explain, and install the Twin Cities' most diverse selection of indoor and outdoor stoves and fireplaces, including metal and masonry pizza ovens.
My dog Stenson loves summers, visiting the dog park, long walks in the woods, and sleeping in the sun. But he is missing winter. Oh, not the outdoor outhouse, known as paws or frozen ears, but those lovely long nights in front of the fire. I bought an energy-efficient wood stove from Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces about 7 years ago. Having a wood stove means more than lower heating bills. It means a happy dog.
Come see us. We have over 35 working displays in our store, which is just off I-94 at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, since 1977, out of the ordinary products and services to make fire work for you.
Hey, welcome back. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. I'm Doug Padgett, talking with Alexandra Thornton. Alex, thanks for being on. We're talking about taxes and the big tax law. You wrote some really great work for at the Center for American Progress in your article about what was going to happen with that tax bill of 2017. And you were suggesting there was going to be all kinds of shenanigans and loopholes and people gaming the system and all, and thought that you, along with so many other experts, were saying it's going to balloon the debt and it's going to make things worse in the economy, at least as far as debt goes. How has it turned out, at least as far as we can tell so far into its first few months?
Well, it's not looking good. We were promised that wages would go up to $4,000 a year for workers, and we've seen wages actually in real terms have actually gone down due to price increases just slightly. But basically, wages have been stagnant. They said there would be a whole lot more investment, but that's not actually true. Most of the investment indicators show that there's not a lot of extra investment going on over what was happening before. But what we are seeing is a huge number of stock buybacks. A lot of the, initially there were reports when the bill first passed of a lot of bonuses, and there were some companies really ballyhooing about that. But it turned out that it was like a tiny percentage of companies and of workers. And there was then a precipitous drop. And it turned out that actually part of the reason why companies were giving bonuses was because their fiscal years for tax purposes crossed over into the 2018, and they were able to get a tax break, a tax deduction for the bonuses they gave earlier, a bigger tax deduction, because it would be at the higher 35% rate instead of the new lower corporate rate. Yeah. So, and then we've seen historic levels of stock buybacks, companies taking this huge windfall that they've gotten and using it basically to buy back their stock, which tends to make the price of stock go up. And what's also interesting is that the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, just came out with an analysis showing that there's a fairly large number of CEOs and other executives who actually cashed out their shares right after a stock buyback, obviously in order to get the highest amount for their shares. So, and when you look at the corporate tax revenues, back in the 1950s, corporate tax revenues were about a third of total tax revenues that we got from all sources at the federal level.
Yeah.
And they started going down through the decades and were around roughly a little under 10% before this bill was passed. They've already projected now that they'll drop to about 7.5% of total revenues. So we've seen
that's total, and that's total income, right? Right. So that, I mean, because there's this argument
income.
That conservatives, and I used to buy this argument that said, look, you can have a higher percentage on a smaller amount, or you can have a lower percentage on a larger amount, and the lower percentage on a larger amount could be more advantageous for the tax revenues. But as it turns out, what we have is lower rates on a smaller amount.
That's exactly
which seems
right.
to be building this crisis. And it seems like what the current Republican Congress and the Trump administration is doing at every turn is trying to create the least, I'm just trying to lessen the amount of tax of revenue that's coming in. Is there any argument to be made that they're doing anything other than reducing the amount of revenue that's coming in? Like, is there any way to understand what they're doing that's not essentially that?
I mean, I think they keep saying that what we should do is cut spending, and they've put out budget proposals showing they would cut Medicare, Medicaid, you know, many of the bedrock programs that our country is sort of built upon, the safety net and so forth. And, you know, so no, they're not. They're just cutting they're cutting revenue by giving tax cuts mainly to the wealthy and to corporations. And actually, the way they're doing it is not smart either, because they claimed before this bill passed that they were going to close all these loopholes and special breaks, but in fact what they did was add more. They didn't close the ones that were there, except maybe one. And so, and because of all the loopholes, special breaks, glitches, mistakes, now the bill is costing even more than they said. So originally the Congressional Budget Office said it would cost around $1.5 trillion. Now they've revised their estimates up, and they're saying it's going to be close to $2 trillion over 10 years is going to be the cost, because they didn't the cost wasn't covered, and so this is what it will cost our federal budget. And, you know, that means less money for infrastructure, education, and Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, you name it.
And it's curious, because the Trump administration is trying to push this idea that, you know, the GDP is growing, that the economy is growing, that the stock market is booming. And yet their own projections on what will happen to federal revenue is that it will be lower. And that just seems to not make any sense. It even seems that the conservative argument should be, we will only grow the federal budget if we grow the economy. But here you have visions or indications of a growing economy, but still shrinking federal revenues. It just doesn't make, I mean, I know I'm a partisan. I don't think anything that does make sense, but this math doesn't work.
Yeah, we're seeing an initial bump from the tax cut because corporations now have even more, they're more awash in cash. But so we're seeing an initial bump, but all economists across the spectrum say that it's just going to be an initial bump and then GDP is going to go back down. And of course, the stock market is going up because, you know, we've got all these stock buybacks and because of the current atmosphere. But that's eventually going to correct too, and most economists say that will, you know, sooner or later that's going to happen too. And by the way, I mean, the economy has been basically going along at a steady upward trajectory since well into the early parts of the Obama administration. So this isn't something that happened, you know, because of the tax bill.
Well, that's Alex Thornton. Alex, yeah, we promised people an exciting conversation, and you delivered. It's fantastic. And if you want to find Alex's this great article called 11 Ways the Wealthy and Corporations Will Game the New Tax Law, it's worth Googling and looking that up. Alex, thanks so much for being on the show today. I really appreciate it. It was very helpful for me. I'm sure it was for others as well.
It was a pleasure.
Hey, folks, thanks for staying with us here. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. I'm Doug Padgett in Drive Time.
Going someplace and there's no going back. Highway patrol choppers coming up over here.
This is Chad, owner of AM950, here to tell you about Snap Construction. They're experts in roofing, siding, window, and insurance restoration. They have energy-efficient products available for both residential and commercial properties. This spring, when we needed a company to take a look at a problem with our roof, I called the company I knew I could trust, Snap Construction. I've known Ryan, the owner at Snap Construction, for years, so I knew I could trust him. Don't just take my word for it. Check out their reviews online. They are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior contractor online in the metro area. Over the years, Ryan has always said the same thing to me about his work. If we build it, shouldn't we be held accountable for the work indefinitely? He backed that statement up years ago when Snap Construction was a pioneer in offering a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee on all their work. For a free estimate or general questions, call the locally owned company AM950 Trusts, Snap Construction, at 612-333-SNAP. That's 612-333-SNAP, or find them online at snapconstruction.com. They have financing options available.
This is Lori Swanson. Minnesota's a special place. As your attorney general, I've stood up to powerful interests to keep it that way.
Lori Swanson.
From taking on drug companies that inflated prices and forcing a corporate polluter to clean up our drinking water, to taking on Donald Trump as he attacks what we value most as Minnesotans. Now I'm running for governor because there's too much at stake to let Donald Trump and the special interests push policies that hurt our state.
Swanson for governor.
As governor, I'll continue to defend health care for everyone, and I'll lower the cost of health care and prescription drugs. I'll work to keep our kids safe in school and defend our schools against drastic cuts that jeopardize our kids' futures and our state's economy. I've been proud to be your attorney general, and as your governor, I'll keep standing up for what's right and get things done for Minnesota.
Lori Swanson for governor.
Prepared and paid for by Swanson for Governor.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is All Digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
Jeff Warner here for Warner Stellion to share my latest attempt to help you break up with your tired, inefficient appliances. Replace them. Get our guaranteed lowest price on beautiful, super efficient ones. Plus $50 for every appliance replaced. Plus free delivery and basic installation from our trusted specialists. And 18 months zero interest financing. This is a great deal, so we can only afford to extend this offer for a very short time. Don't wait. Choose Warner Stellion and save on incredible new appliances today.
Hi, Minnesota. Norman Goldman here. Join me every weekday from 5 to 8 p.m. for some clarity, wit, and wisdom on the latest issues of the day here on AM 950. Today on the show, Paul Manafort's trial starts in Russiagate. There is a pardon dangling out there. Will we get it before the trial starts, or will they wait? Let's find out. Join me for 3 live hours of the Norman Goldman Show every weeknight here from 5 to 8 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for clear skies tonight with a low around 65. Wednesday, a slight chance for rain with a high near 78. Thursday, sunny with a high around 76. And Friday, sunny with a high around 86. PJW Automotive is a family-owned car and truck maintenance and repair business. They offer quality and dependability the first time around and have been in business for over 30 years. They're located in New Brighton, one exit north of 694 and 35W, so see why it's worth the drive to PJW Automotive. Online at pjwauto.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Doug Padgett in from New York City today. Hey, Brett, how are things back there in the lovely state of Minnesota? Everything hanging in there all right?
Going well here. I'm not quite the liberal elitist, as they say, being in New York City.
I am in the heart of it all.
The heart of anti. Well, I guess Trump was from New York, so I don't know how he can necessarily say that. At the liberal
well, it's
elite.
Really amazing, isn't it? You walk down the street and you see Trump Tower, and you're like, I'm not sure, that this is really this is really your enemies here, buddy. Hey, by the way, I want to ask you a little bit about the Minnesota State Fair first. Do you are you a Minnesota State Fair attendee?
I haven't gone in quite a few years, actually, myself. So I haven't been there quite a while.
I haven't gone in a number of years either. After our children are no longer of the age that I feel like I need to take them to the fair, I'm like, I'm just not going ever again. But I know a lot of people like it. And I thought maybe with this big tax breaks that the wealthy like you are getting from this Trump administration, you'd want to go to take on the 26 new beer varieties that are happening at the Minnesota State Fair. I don't know if you saw this one, yet today. But they are coming out with all kinds of new flavored beers, like the licorice infused pilsner, which is rimmed with a sugar spice mix. I mean, this is state fair beer that has now become this level of funny. I don't know what you'd even call it, like kind of carnival beer or something. don't know. Are you a beer connoisseur yourself?
Kind of, yeah. Actually, one of our great advertisers on Bibulous, I go there quite a bit because they have some great local beers where you can build your own 4 or 6 packs, little plug there. But, yeah, I definitely enjoy the local craft beers, yeah. And but I didn't know the state fee was
off. I think
we
ought to go do a show from there someday.
What's that?
I think we ought to go over there and do a show from
there someday.
Absolutely,
I've been there,
it's a 4 o'clock drive to...
Yeah, it's a great location in northeast Minneapolis, and I just love, you can make your own customized 4 and 6 packs of craft beer. It's great.
Well, I think there's a show idea in the making right there.
I think so, too,
if you make it out to the state fair, they have the deep-fried vanilla cake-flavored beer from Mankato Brewery. The people over at Finnegan's, they're putting out a caramel corn cream ale. I don't know if Matt is onto this yet, but if Matt was bothered by the fact that there were little rentable scooters that you could get for the hipsters, I mean, this funnel cake ice cream ale and the Gaelic dark and stormy lime and ginger accented beer.
Anything just hipster just absolutely annoys him. So yeah, I'm going to pass that along to him. He'll be all over that.
Well, I think when I'm sure the station will do broadcasting from the Minnesota State Fair, right? Isn't that a standard AM 950?
We haven't in a few years, and still unknown if we'll be out there this year. There's just a lot of logistics that go into it, and costs and stuff like that. But we'd love to, but it's tough to do. Yeah.
I say we rally. Let's try to rally up something, or maybe we could just do one of these kind of remote ones right from the fair and do some little tapping because it's. I don't know. It seems like a really fun kind of connection. Hey, a little bad Trump news. I don't know if you're if you are on the Trump email list. I am. I choose to be on their fundraiser list. Part of the reason is whatever amount of pennies it costs them or fractions of pennies to have to send an email, I want them to have to waste it on me. And I also want to keep up on what they're doing. And so I receive these Donald J. Trump emails. They come from Donald J. Trump in the address, and there's a little black box at the top that reads authorized by Trump headquarters. And so every day I get one of these emails from them. And here's what it reads today, and I think it's really curious. It reads, "Hey Doug, the media," Donald Trump apparently writing, but all these words are spelled correctly, so I don't think it was him. I think maybe it was somebody outside the campaign or in the administration writing this, but "the media hopes their coverage of me will get so nasty that I'll give up from our fight," which the sentence doesn't really even make any sense. And then in all caps and with red letters, "that day will never come," it reads. And then it says this, "I promise you that I'll fight for you, and there's nothing our enemies could ever do to make me walk away from that promise." Our enemies could ever do. He starts out by saying the media hopes that their coverage of me will get so nasty I'll give up the fights, and there's nothing our enemies could ever do to make me walk away. The idea that in print he sends to people on this email list that confession that he wants us all to understand that the media is our enemy. It is a kind of subtle anti-American notion that I think should be held in great caution to all of us. Whatever level the media has to play in our society and whatever level the media has to play in our politics, the media is not the enemy of the people. Other people who disagree with you are not our enemies. People in the United States of America should not refer to other people in our country as enemies. I would prefer if people in our country didn't refer to people in other countries as our enemies, but at least the argument should be made as people in the United States that we are not seeing those who differ with us as our enemies. Like, enemies language is something that you hold and keep for activities that bring harm to the United States from the outside, even if you're trying to be some sort of a Trump-like nationalist. But this idea that he sends an email out to just jokers like me that are on the email list and claims that the enemies, our enemies, will never will never cause him to break his promise. And the enemies he's referring to are the media. And then it's a fundraiser, of course, and there's 5-6 boxes here that say contribute $20, $15, $10, and a picture of the president at the bottom, and then another place to contribute $5. So it's a money grab for sure. But the idea that they're going to try to raise money off of the argument that the media is our enemies is something that even Trump supporters should say. That kind of argument, that kind of structure of making your point does not fit us. It sinks below the level at which we're willing to talk about one another in this country. It sits at the heart of the problem, right? The heart of the problem is that we would consider people to be enemies. Now, look, I think Donald Trump is a threat to the democracy. I think Donald Trump is a threat to the institutions in the United States. But this is a threat that's happening from within. This is a threat. This is corruption and treason from within. If he wants to call the media treasonous, I guess that's fair. But to call us the enemy is not only a step too far, it's just structured in all the wrong ways. Hey, Mark in Fridley, you have some thoughts about the GOP tax policy, but I bet you also have some thoughts about Donald J. Trump, the president of the United States, calling the media enemies. But let's talk about tax policy first.
Well, what I'd like to know, if there's any conservative economists out there that can explain to me how less tax at revenue, where you borrow money for tax cuts combined with increased spending, is ever going to work. But I want to explain to people, and your previous guest did a great job, but she mentioned the words buybacks. And I want to explain to people what buybacks really are, because it's basically...
You're talking about a stock buyback. You're talking about a stock buyback when companies take the revenue and they buy back their own stock that other stockholders would own. Yeah. So,
right.
Okay, give us a rundown on that. What happens?
You're artificially manipulating the stock price by using borrowed money from the government. And the only reason you're doing that is because your compensation is based on what the stock price is.
Yeah, so you're saying that by them buying their stock, when a company issues a stock, the stock is now out of their control, and now it's on the free market. Like if you sold a toaster at a garage sale, the company that made the toaster is no longer making money. But you're saying that when people buy, when the company themselves buy it back, they're ginning up the price of their stock because it's not a stockholder that's buying it. Because the stockholder thinks it's valuable, it's the company buying it, and that makes the system respond as if a stockholder is buying it. So that's what you mean by ginning up the...
And what you're not doing, Doug, is you're not reinvesting that capital into the business. You're investing that capital into propping up the stock market price, which is not a reflection of what the business is doing. So instead of compensating your employees, adding new equipment, doing research and development, you're not doing that anymore. You're not creating more jobs. You're not, buying more equipment that's great for the economy.
Right.
All you're doing is pumping up artificially the stock price on money that you borrow, so the CEO's compensation can be 700 times that of the lowest paid employee. So that's what a stock buyback is, and that's why a guy like Paul Wellstone knew what he was doing when he proposed in 2002, 2 weeks before he died, Senate Bill 3143, the Shareholder and Investment Protection Act, Consumer Protection Act. And we need to call our congresspeople and say Sarbanes-Oxley was set up to fail. It had monstrous loopholes in that nobody realized when they supported it after Enron and WorldCom. Dodd-Frank hasn't worked, and now we have this stock buyback scam mechanism, and all it is institutional corruption. And it's, has the blessings of both parties, and the top 1% is making more money than they knew what to do with, and instead of creating jobs, they're pumping up their own compensation.
Well, thanks, Mark. That's super helpful, and I really appreciate it. And this is one of the things that a lot of people have realized in the last 25 years, and that is that our economy is no longer built on the premise of capitalism. It's built on the premise of evaluation. And capital would tell you that there has to be capital. Evaluation means that something has value simply based on what you think its future value is going to be worth. So stocks are not, the value of a stock is not built on the capital evaluation of a company. In fact, there's a lot of companies that have a lot of value in their company. They would own factories and they would own products and all kinds of things that would have some value. They could even own bars of gold, for crying out loud. But they'd be valued less in the stock market because the stock market is about future earning potential. And this idea, because the stock market is not the same as the economy, but so many people get that confused, and all the time people are thinking that the valuation of the stock market is the same as the economy, and it's not. So as Mark brings up and as Alex Thornton brings up, it's ginning up the economy with a adrenaline shot. It's a fantastic Springsteen song. We'll be back here after the break on AM 950.
All he gives is a humbug pill, a dose of dope.
Jeff Warner here for Warner Stellion to share my latest attempt to help you break up with your tired, inefficient appliances. Replace them. Get our guaranteed lowest price on beautiful, super efficient ones. Plus $50 for every appliance replaced. Plus free delivery and basic installation from our trusted specialists. And 18 months zero interest financing. This is a great deal, so we can only afford to extend this offer for a very short time. Don't wait. Choose Warner Stellion and save on incredible new appliances today.
Waking up is easy when you look forward to breakfast. Served 7 days a week at the Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul. Try eggs your way with hash browns, bacon, or sausage. There are four delicious varieties of Eggs Benedict that should not be missed. And buttermilk pancakes, waffles, or French toast are always fresh off the griddle. How about a Bloody Mary or screwdriver from the bar? The Downtowner Woodfire Grill is located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking, or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
I'm John Peterson, and at Ferndale Market, we are proud to provide our free-range turkey to local restaurants and natural food stores. One of our partners since the beginning has been Birchwood Cafe, and we're excited to announce a new partnership product, the Birchwood Turkey Burger Patty. Made from their popular turkey burger recipe, using our antibiotic-free turkey and Birchwood's local and organic ingredients. Put an end to bland turkey burgers. Find this and all our Ferndale turkey products at your local co-op or natural food store. Visit ferndalemarket.com.
Hi, Gregory Rich, host of AM 950's Drinkin' the Style. Are you a fan of cool? Then let me introduce you to Gus Modern. Available exclusively in the Twin Cities at Habitation Furnishing and Design, Gus Modern is kind of mid-century, kind of contemporary, and 100% cool. Timeless, comfortable, awesome, and through August 19th, 20% off. Visit GusModern.com or stop in at Habitation at 4317 Excelsior Boulevard and check it out.
Guess who called me the other day? You did. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld of Computer Revolution in Roseville. I want to thank AM 950 listeners who called to thank us for supporting the station. So here's an offer exclusive to 950 listeners. Bring your broken computer or cell phone to our Roseville store, say I'm an AM 950 listener, and you'll receive $20 off any repair. Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. And thanks.
Who ain't got left to drown? Tell me, how can a poor man stand such times?
Hey, welcome back. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Greg Padgett in here, Drive Time. That's a Brett, nice find on that one. That's one of my favorite Springsteen songs.
Yes.
Called How Can a Poor Man Stand Such Times and Live.
It seemed fitting considering what we were kind of talking about.
Yeah, that's a great find. That was a song that he did actually a couple years, year or two after Hurricane Katrina in a fundraiser there. And it's a remake of an old song from the 1930s. And it raises this question about, you know, when an administration doesn't help people who are under such pressure, how can they rise above? And that was way back, you know, in 2006, I think that fundraiser happened for Hurricane Katrina victims, back when we thought that could be about as inept as a presidential administration could ever be. Remember those days when people thought that Hurricane Katrina was the natural disaster that showed the failure of the administration?
And Trump kind of did the old hold my beer thing, if you know that meme going around, and has one-upped it, unfortunately.
No, say that again. What's the meme that's going around?
It's the old thing where they say, where someone says, well, I did something this poorly, and a guy says, hold my beer, I'll do even worse. It's a meme on the internet. That's kind of what Trump has done, yeah.
Yeah, Trump is saying, hold my beer. If you think Hurricane Katrina was a disaster, how about this? I've often referred to the Trump administration as a natural disaster, and that we have to prepare for it like you do a natural disaster. We're just in the middle of it for 2 to 4 years. And the real work comes after it's over. And how do you recover from it? Because the damage is so severe, and I'm just worried that some of the damage being done. And you know, we are just a couple of weeks out from election day here, primary election day here in Minnesota, just over 2 weeks, or 2 weeks from today, I guess it is. And these are questions that we should be raising to everybody who wants to represent the Democratic Party. We should ask them about tax policy. We should ask them about the Trump administration. You know, I'm a big fan of Richard Painter. I'd love to talk to Tina Smith. I maybe become a fan of hers if she'd like to come on the show here. I'd love to talk with her about it. But I like that you know, Richard Painter and others are out there saying, hey, here's where I stand on this issue. I think Trump is a real threat, and we need to do something about it. And I would like all of our politicians to rise up and have some courage of their conscience to say something, especially Democrats from the great state of Minnesota. I've been harping on this for weeks now, that this is one of the great states. This is one of the great bastions of Democratic ideals, especially in our federally elected officials. And it's time for them to start voicing that and to lead this country and not to be followers. You know, it's easy to want to just fall into the same old policy debates. And I'm going to get to Gary in Minneapolis here in a minute talking about tax cuts. It was kind of nice to talk with Alex Thornton from the Center for American Progress and even talk with Mark about, you know, tax policy and fiscal policy, because it just feels like, okay, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to, as a nation, have discussions and debates about what policies we want and what policies we think are important. We shouldn't be having to say, do you think the president colluded with Russia? Do you think the president's campaign manager is going to be sent to prison? Do you think that the president's national security advisor is getting off a leniency when he admitted to being conspiring against the United States of America? Like, we should never be in this kind of ridiculous situation we find ourselves in with Donald Trump. We're supposed to be able to have the long-term discussions and arguments in this country about policy and about parties and about partisanship. That's good for us. We should have those conversations. We shouldn't be having to have these other ones. So let's just pretend for another 4 minutes here of the radio show that we can talk about the old days. Gary from Minneapolis, tax cuts for the rich. What's on your mind about that?
Yeah, before I get into that, I want to thank your station so much. There's a congressman that was very exceptional, a very special one. When I was younger, I think he got elected to Congress in 1970 and served 27 years, and they're commemorating him. He passed away Monday. Ron Dellums, and he was from California. He was very good. I think he was out of the socialist movement, labor socialism, and he was one of the last really good labor New Deal liberals that really fought against poverty and against war. The only war they said he voted for was to help Somalia out. And they told a lot of details I didn't even know about him. And I still remember him on C-SPAN years ago, and he was really, really outspoken and fought for justice for people. And one of the things he said about him was, he said, one of the best ways to fight poverty is gender equality wages in the workplace. And
there you go.
Anyway, but to get back to the
real quick, because I want to get Brad in here too.
These tax cuts—that's what they did with Hardy and Coolidge and Hoover. It took three presidents to destroy the economy then with these tax giveaways. I don't know how quick it's coming, but it's bad. They just can't handle the economy. I think it's greed. They don't like to admit that. They just can't get enough money and take it from the rest of us, and they get their money off the backs of working people. So anyway,
hey, thanks, Gary. I appreciate your call today. Yeah, I appreciate it. Well, you haven't said enough, but that's all we have time for today. Keep calling, and I really appreciate it. Hey, Brad from St. Paul, what's in your mind?
Here's the real problem is you give people too much credit for wanting to be informed. Until people have an ability to know that this is even a problem, you know, they're too worried about the Twins game and stupid crap like that that pays them nothing. You know, I've always had the idea that if I won the lotto, I would buy highway signs with one name, and I would put that name on there, and then I would have pages like AM 950, ProjectCensored.org, The Intercept. Most people don't know this is even going on, or have no clue that the Fairness Doctrine has been abolished. And over the airwaves, they can legally lie to you, mislead you, and now with the NDAA,
propaganda, it's amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
Legal. And until, you know, Joe Blow knows about this, and Joe and Julie Lunchbucket know about it, forget it. It's, I don't think it's ever going to change. And
well,
they've had
the right
way for a long time that when they allowed the conglomeration, and Bill Clinton was part of this, with the Telecommunications Act of 1996, that was the beginning of the end of any real information unless you seek it out and really look for it. And I've got some right-wing friends. Yeah. You couldn't convince these guys, and they got PhDs.
I hear you, and I'm with you, and I really do think we have to work hard to get the word out. And you know, I've been saying for a long time here, we have to turn up the volume, not only on the decibels of what we're saying it a little louder, but also turn up the volume in the sense of the amount. There needs to be more of it. We need to say more things in more times to more people in more ways. And I know politics isn't everyone's thing. They're not interested in it. I get that. And there's many things that make my life function and be positive and beneficial that I don't consider or think about at all. Like the sanitation system that exists in the United States and that I benefit from greatly, and we all do, right? I don't really think about our sewer systems. I don't really think about our water and where it comes from, but we all benefit greatly from it. So I know some people take advantage of politics because other people are worrying about it. But those of us who do, to your point, Brad, to those of us who do think about this, it's incumbent upon us to just keep raising the questions, to keep raising the stories, to keep doing it with a wink and a smile and with a shake of our finger and with a stern scowl at times. But we just have to say what we can in all the places that we can, and just a little bit more, because we're in those days. So, Brad, thanks for sharing that today. And I'm glad to be sharing this with you here on Drive Time on AM 950. The Progressive Voice of Minnesota. I'm Doug Padgett. Not going to be in tomorrow, but I'll talk to you on Thursday. See you then. This is radio.